Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Talk to an agent today.
3 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. A lot to get to today on the show. Cal Eldred will join us as we will wrap up Major League Baseball. Brian Haney will join us, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. We'll talk Kansas football and basketball. And the University of Maryland is retaining DJ Durkin. News conference going on right now. It is the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. And we welcome you in to the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM, 1600 AM in the historic main gym all around eastern Iowa, 107.5 FM. That is the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann back with us as our producer, just back from Iowa City in the Kirk Ferentz News Conference. And Kyle will be sitting in today with Alex, as Todd with the day off today. Be back tomorrow, and plenty to discuss here today. Cal Eldred's going to join us coming up before 4 o'clock. Also, Brian Haney's going to join us to talk Kansas football and basketball. All things Big 12. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And big thanks to all the folks at Third Base. When you're at Third Base, you're practically home. Over the last 15, 20 minutes, Mark, we have been fascinated by what is going on in College Park, Maryland right now as the Board of Regents president and now the outgoing president of the University of Maryland are at the podium as Maryland announcing that basically DJ Durkin will remain as the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. And this thing, it looks bad, it smells bad, and this is not the end of this whole situation, because Jordan McNair's parents have already said, along with their lawyers, they're going to be holding their own news conference coming up later on today. We've heard from numerous parents of Maryland players on both ends of the spectrum here, saying DJ Durkin is a scourge of the earth, and others saying that they would go to war for DJ Durkin. This thing's got mutiny written all over it, and I'm astounded by the fact that DJ Durkin is coming back as the coach of the Maryland Terrapins. I don't know how in the world you would let your child go to Maryland to play football with DJ Durkin there after everything that has gone on, but maybe I'm naive and in the minority. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I echo those comments. I agree totally. I'm shocked that DJ Durkin is still going to walk the sidelines
Saturday
for Maryland.
He's going to be on the sideline Saturday.
He's meeting with his players today and practicing with them today. And let's make this clear, the Board of Regents did not have the power to rule on DJ Durkin, whether he remains or not. It was the president's decision. And, oh, by the way, the president is leaving his post following this school year.
Apparently.
What a coincidence that is.
Well, here's...
You either keep him as head coach, Board of Regents, or you're out. Well, I'll keep him, but I'm out anyway. That's what it looks like to me.
Interesting couple of things. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, friend of the show here, just tweeted out, Wallace Lowe, who is the president and has said he will retire, his hands were tied. Basically, Maryland threw two guys under the bus. They threw the strength and conditioning coach, which, yes, he should have been.
Deserved it.
Deservingly so. And the president of Maryland College Park, Wallace Lowe, who said, all right, fine. Who, oh, by the way, did not mention once in his 15 minutes of his speech and remarks did not mention the words DJ Durkin once. I find that very interesting right there. Mr. President, here's your deal. If you decide to fire DJ Durkin, well, you're going to be gone right now. And if you, so you basically, your hands are tied, sir. And so I guess
I'll keep him, but I'm out anyway.
Wallace Lowe did the only honorable thing I guess he could do and said, all right, fine, I'm going to retire at the end of the school year. And that's what he is going to do at this present time. 319-366-1600. I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there with an opinion on this. That is the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Phone lines open as well, 319-366-1600. We got football trading day going on today. Kirk Ferentz met the media today. A lot going on a Tuesday.
As far as Maryland goes, I find it very interesting that the president of the Board of Regents determined concluding in the investigation that there was not a quote-unquote toxic culture at Maryland, but then proceeded to say that there were this, that, and the other things going on that were troubling. I mean, it's a semantics thing in my mind. And, considering what happened, a young man's life is gone. I'll be interested to see what his parents have to say. DJ Durkin was present at that workout. Although he couldn't supervise it or lead it, he was there. It's just head scratching to me.
It all comes down to this, and it was a statement toward the end of the statement of James Brady, the chair of the University of Maryland Board of Regents, who said that he believes, I'm paraphrasing here, the football culture is starting to take off here at the University of Maryland. That's all you need to know. At this point, that's all you need to know. If Maryland football was 0 for the year right now, would DJ Durkin be coming back? Heck no. No way. But it was starting to trend upward. With Matt Canada, although DJ Durkin did take Maryland to a bowl game in one of his 2 years at College Park. And it just reminds you again, this is a multi-million and billion-dollar business, the world of college football.
President of the Regents said Durkin, he believed him to be a good man and a good coach. Let that sink in.
319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Brian Haney coming up in a little bit. Cal Eldred's going to join us coming up in a little bit
McNair's,
as well.
McNair's parents aren't the only ones upset.
No.
There are plenty other parents and players who are not happy that DJ Durkin is leading this program. And I would suspect there's going to be some defections.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely going to be defections coming up. There's going to be right now. I would imagine today, even. Now, if you've played over four games, it's going to be a little bit tougher. This is it's just a bad situation. It is just a bad situation. Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600 out there. That's a Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. But, man, alive. It's, I think they got rid of the two guys they needed or they wanted to get rid of, as far as the Maryland Board of Regents are concerned. And they got my $40 over the summer in the state of Maryland.
How's that? Oh, are you speeding? Were you speeding?
The camera ticket in Maryland, it still got me a little riled up, Mark. Still got me a little riled up because it was a bad situation. How do you go from a 45 to a 25 in like a block?
Yeah. Gotta pay attention, Scott.
Yeah, I know. We were on vacation. Everything was flying quickly. Anyway.
November 17th, DJ Durkin is at Urban Meyer. Now, Urban Meyer had his own news conference today, and along with an interview with Yahoo Sports, described his series of headaches, which are legitimately linked to a surgery he had a few years ago and believed it was being treated with medications and whatnot. But when he saw him on one knee in the Indiana game because the headaches were so profound. And say what you want about Urban Meyer, he does have a medical condition he's dealing with. That doesn't excuse a lot of the things that have happened in that program, of course, but that's what was said today by Urban Meyer.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, Hertzine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And you're right, I feel bad about Urban Meyer, and he did deny the fact that he is thinking of resigning at the end of the season. So, says he still will be the coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that would be the case. Other news going on today. NFL trade deadline.
Interesting moves. The Eagles acquire Golden Tate.
Great move.
Yes. The Texans acquired Demaryius Thomas.
Not so great move. I can say that now that the Chiefs are done playing the Broncos.
The Rams get some defensive help, acquiring Dante Fowler. The Ravens pick up Ty Montgomery, unsure whether he'll be returning kicks in Baltimore.
Well, that just tells you right there who's in charge in Green Bay.
And Green Bay also moving Ha-Ha Clinton Dix to the Redskins.
Who, if you were a Packer fan, looking back on it, number one choice for the Packers, wouldn't you have to say Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was a disappointment?
Somewhat, I think, yeah.
He was supposed to come in and be a savior of that secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been okay, but he's not been what they envisioned in Green Bay.
Micah Hyde, although he's not there anymore, has had as good, if not better, career than Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And a very
deadline is closed, though.
Yes, it has. Chiefs stayed pat. They were talking about getting Jenkins from the Giants, the other New York corner out there, did not make that trade. And so they will stand pat, which maybe tells me Eric Berry is a little bit closer to coming back than not coming back out there. So that's the NFL trade deadline going on today. Kirk Ferentz met the media in Iowa City. Oh, by the way, the big news was Nate Stanley wearing a large hoodie and not showing anyone his right hand or whatever that's worth out there, saying that there is validity now to the injury. Did hurt it during the ball game. Said he has been practicing. Kyle, did you get a look at the right hand?
I actually did. I got an inside look because as I was leaving the complex after Kirk Ferentz's press conference, he was walking outside the complex, hands out of pocket. I didn't see bruise. I didn't see swelling. I didn't see anything like that. And I wanted to come in here because there's been like a weird pseudo-narrative that's come out today that maybe Stanley's only questionable. Maybe he's not going to play. He made a comment that, you know, is he going to play? Well, that's the goal. Nate Stanley's playing. He said his hand is fine. Kirk Ferentz said it's fine.
Ferentz said as much.
That is a non-story.
He's not probable.
I would say he's as close to guaranteed as possible.
I would have appreciated a picture of the hand, Kyle.
I was driving. I'm definitely not whipping the phone out in a company car.
That's fine.
Julie is happy.
I made her unhappy one time. It only takes once.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. So that's what went on in Iowa City today. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in.
Let's backtrack a little bit here and offer the poll question. Emil's Hideaway sponsored poll question at kgymradio.com. Did Maryland make the right move in retaining DJ Durkin? Simple yes or no. And thanks as always to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. By the way, we'll be making our Emil's Hideaway pick sixes on Friday.
Yes, we will. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. By the way, we had a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give before 4 o'clock today. Thanks to Steve down the hill at Dr. Pepper for helping us out with that 24-pack of regular Diet Dr. Pepper, some KGYM and Dr. Pepper swag as well. We'll take a break, come back, and Brian Hanney will join us, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, after this.
You have some mighty impressive power. Spend a dollar locally and bam! It returns an average of 3 times more to our community than spending it somewhere else. Buy here to have a direct positive impact on all of us. Here's some places to start. Dan and Debbie's Creamery is popular in Ely for a reason. This family-owned farm-to-table dairy production facility tempts you with signature ice cream flavors like Swiss chocolate chip and coffee Oreo. Stop by for a treat. Peterson Pet Hospital in Hiawatha is focused on patient comfort in everything they offer, from general wellness and sick exams to surgeries, dental care, radiology, ultrasound, and dog and cat boarding. As one of the newest restaurants in Kingston Village, local poor and street food may have one of the most diverse menus in the area. Munch on street food favorites like poutine and footlong Chicago dogs in their eclectic atmosphere. Use your power for good. Return an average of 3 times more to our community with the Buy Here program from the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance. At the gym, we're big fans. Hop on board and buy here.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone, see?
Huh, nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Getting tired of him? Why don't you tell him about the benefits of working at night at PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids? Solves the daycare issue and gives you some space if you catch my drift. On top of all that, stellar benefits with retirement, medical, dental, and vision. Hey, all kidding aside, PMX could be the answer for your family because night work pays well and gives a ton of flexibility. Taking back your days could start at night. Learn more at ipmx.com. That's ipmx.com.
Back in the gym class, KGYM for a Tuesday. We got a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give before 4 o'clock here today. As plenty going on with the verdict as far as DJ Durkin is concerned, he is going to stay, and sounds like he will be coaching the Maryland Terrapins coming up on Saturday. On Saturday, it'll be Iowa State. They'll be down in Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. And to talk about the ball game, Well, we welcome in Brian Hanney, the voice of Kansas Jayhawk football here on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. And, Brian, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Great to be out with you guys. I'm doing great.
First question is, did Kansas get fined yet for field storming after the victory against TCU?
No, nothing yet. You know, and on the broadcast, I was trying to tactfully and kindly say, you know what, I'm not sure we need to do this. Let's act like we've been there before. But then I saw some tweet that after 67% of David Beatty's wins, the field has been stormed. So, you know, the good news is you never see that with KU hoops. It's happened maybe once in the 30 years I've been covering KU basketball, going back to my childhood days. That was a KU-Texas game, strangely enough, back in the TJ Ford era. But we see it a lot in football, and you can understand why a fan base this starved for anything to be excited about in the fall would want to have reason to rush the field. But that was a game that, for those internally, you know, the team themselves, the coaches, all that, those close to the program, really felt like they were catching TCU at a good time and really felt confidently they would win that one. So as much as the students may have been surprised and wanting to storm the field, the football team absolutely felt like they deserved to win that one, and it was great to see them hang on with the 27-26 win.
How'd that victory play out?
Well, I think we saw a couple of things come to fruition for Kansas that we've been waiting on. The first of which is Peyton Bender had his best game at quarterback in his 2 years as a Jayhawk, and it really took some courage and confidence to stick with him after a really rough start down in Lubbock the previous week. For those that are just turning the page and looking at Kansas for the first time this year, David Beatty had to fire his offensive coordinator midseason during the bye week and took over the play-calling duties himself. And he also at that time named Peyton Bender the starter, who'd been going back and forth with Carter Stanley a little bit over the first 6 weeks. Well, his first start in the second half of the year with a new play caller and all that honestly couldn't have gone much worse. They got just blown out down in Lubbock. He was 18 of 41 at times, missed some open throws, and there was a lot of criticism in sticking with him heading into the TCU game, and some wondered, would it actually be Carter Stanley? And at the end of the first half, with KU trailing and being tripled up in yardage, 290 to 89, you're wondering again, are we going to see a different quarterback in the third quarter? But he really came alive, completed two deep balls down the sideline to the right and to the left, Jeremiah Booker on one side and Stephon Robinson on the other, and that really fueled his confidence. And he goes on to have just a sensational second half, made the types of throws we heard he could make, and we had seen glimpses of against lesser opponents in non-con play the last couple of years, but not at the Big 12 level, not with so much on the line. You saw what Mike Leach saw in him when he signed him as a highly rated guy coming out of high school to play at Washington State. And so that was the first thing that was huge. And then I would say, on top of that, we just saw complimentary football. You know, the defense, if you've done your homework, you'll see that they've been amongst the nation's leaders all season in takeaways, turnover margin, all that. They've played well enough for Kansas to win in 7 of their 8 games, but the offense has really let them down. Or you go up to Morgantown, and the defense gets a stop, the offense is about to come out of the field, and then special teams fumbles a punt on the 37-yard line of West Virginia when you're only down 14 with 8 minutes to go, and you got a chance to possibly cut the deficit in half. You know, we didn't see those types of mistakes. We saw special teams excel. Gabriel Rui, the special teamer of the week, Kyle Thompson punting it well, the return game and the coverage units were good. It was one of those weeks, guys, where finally all three units hit their stride on the same week and played some complimentary football with, you know, the defense getting three and outs and trying to set up the offense with some good field position on occasion with a couple of takeaways, the offense not going three and out themselves to allow the defense to rest, and special teams making sure the field position edge was on KU's side for much of the day. So that was great to see. Both of those things were sights for sore eyes, and we just hope at this point that wasn't the high water mark and, you know, the last gasp of 2018, because for this staff to keep going and for the message to be loud and clear that the corner has been turned and progress is real, it's great to have won 3 games now. That equals the entire David Beatty tenure total over the first 3 years. But realistically, they felt like they could win 4 or 5 heading into the season, and that's probably what still is out there needing to be done. So hopefully we'll see that out of Kansas these next couple of weeks in particular before they close in Norman and then at home versus Texas.
Well, with that being said, Brian, an Iowa State team coming in to Lawrence on Saturday, who has ran the gauntlet and done it pretty well, undefeated for the month of October, coming in off the win against Texas Tech and looking ahead even to talk about a possible appearance in the Big 12 championship game. That's still out there. And so this is a challenge, I think, for the Cyclones as well to keep up mentally, to take on Kansas, and a challenge like you just talked about for the Jayhawks to see if they can make it 2 in a row.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is obviously a big challenge. I was just talking with my color analyst before you called, and we were listing off the KU home games this year. I mean, this is one of the very toughest, probably right after Texas. You know, I think that Oklahoma State, TCU, these are all games you'd put behind this one. And even though it wasn't a fast start out of the gates for Coach Campbell's team this year, everybody down here knew you guys were going to get it going, especially after what we saw a season ago. And so I have all the respect in the world for Coach Campbell and his staff. And, you know, obviously we're still cheering for David Beatty to make things work down here. And hopefully, you know, we'll see that out of Coach Beatty in the last month of the season and able to turn year 4 into year 5. But many have wondered out loud if there is going to be a coaching change, and we hope that's not the case. you know, is there another Matt Campbell out there somewhere? Because, man, what a hire that's proven to be. And you get a guy who's truly a rising star, ascending quickly within the coaching ranks. And so certainly have been fans from afar. But, you know, we're pretty excited about the progress we just had. And I think when you see this Kansas team, even though they're still operating at a scholarship deficit that the previous coaching staff, Charlie Weiss and company, put them in, they look the part much more so. And they finally got more depth to compete with the rest of the Big 12 teams, and they've got experienced talent as well. 25 seniors. Joe Dineen's a future NFL guy at linebacker. He's led the nation in solo tackles or been in the top three each of the last 2 years. He could be a first-team All-American this year. He was a midseason All-American. Daniel Wise will play in the league. Puka Williams has been a sensational talent as a midseason freshman All-American, and you'll love watching him out of the backfield for Kansas. And so it definitely looks like a much more formidable foe this time around. And I think those that watched that game in Ames a year ago, even though the final score wouldn't indicate it, you saw a defense that was competing hard, and the offense kept putting them in rough spots, not playing the complimentary football that I just talked about a little bit ago. That defense is every bit as good. They are a ball-hawking group that's coming up with takeaways at a record-setting pace here at Kansas, and a national top two in the standings setting pace in just about every turnover category if you take it per game. And so to me, I think when you add in an offense that now has some more weapons and hopefully is starting to get it to click a little bit at quarterback, you'll see a much more challenging opponent this year than what you saw last year in that rainy day up in Ames in which the Jayhawks struggled to put anything on the board.
I think Kansas has been easier on the eyes this year, Brian. And I think what I go back to is David Beatty's success in recruiting guys like Puka Williams and others. We know rebuilding takes time, but some of these things are taking hold, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one of the big things he did, guys, he realized, hey, we got to recruit the state of Texas, yes. But how many teams are you competing with to recruit the state of Texas? So many, right? So where can they carve a niche outside of Texas while getting as many Kansas guys as they can, too? But as you guys well know, you can't recruit your entire roster from Iowa, and we can't recruit our entire roster from the Sunflower State. So he hired a guy named Tony Hull, who was a high school coach in the New Orleans area, and they've began this Louisiana pipeline that has produced numerous starters and prominent players on this Kansas team. Mike Lee, the safety, Malik Clark, an offensive lineman, now Puka Williams. And, you know, it's a situation where Puka could have played for anybody. Corian Harris, the cornerback, a four-star, the highest-rated Jayhawk signee ever, he could have played for just about anybody. But they've done everything they can to endear themselves to that part of the country, and it's beyond just hiring the one guy. They've had coaching clinics in which they brought in crawfish and cooked some Cajun-style food. And, I mean, they're playing up this New Orleans Jayhawks thing and talk about the boot all the time, talking about the state of Louisiana. And it's been impressive. And I think it's outside-the-box thinking like that that's allowed them to get some dynamic talent in here that's clearly better than what they had in recent seasons. But the one bugaboo, the one Achilles heel that they still haven't had since Todd Reesing left is that stud quarterback. And it looks like you guys have certainly found another one. We've been searching for 9 years, ever since the Texas gunslinger finished up his career, one in which he became a Kansas Hall of Famer, took the Jayhawks to back-to-back bowl games for the only time in school history. And that's why a performance like Peyton Bender's last week was so encouraging, because literally, guys, it has been 9 years since they've had a quarterback they felt great about and thought, okay, this is our guy. Let's get behind this guy. It's been such a roller coaster up and down, left and right. And 1 week you think you got something. The next thing you know, he's struggling. You put somebody else in there. And so to have what you guys have found in Purdy and to look around the rest of this league, that's the one thing Beatty's not been able to solve above all else in his 4 years here, because defensively, this is a top five unit, in my opinion, in the Big 12 Conference. Special teams, way better this year than it was last year, absolutely. And then offensively, you've got Puka Williams, who folks around the country are talking about, and better pass catchers than what they get credit for. Steven Sims will go down as the number two receiver in school history. but they just haven't had that consistency at quarterback. And so we're knocking on any piece of wood we can find right now as I'm saying this out loud to you, that we really hope last week was indicative out of Peyton Bender of what we can expect down the stretch, because it's a pretty competitive football team if you can get an effort like that at quarterback.
Brian, with that in mind, with Kansas's defense, Iowa State's defense, so many categories here at the top of the Big 12, you expect maybe a lower scoring game this week in Lawrence?
You know, it could be. We'll see what effect weather has on it. I think that even with the impressive defenses, there's some impressive offensive playmaking talent as well. I'm having nightmares about 6'6 Akeem Butler as we get set for Saturday with some younger Kansas DBs that, you know, the DBs have played really well. They're always seemingly in position where they need to be, but versus Texas Tech, we saw their receivers that were just in your house last week at 6'5 and 6'6 just reaching up over the top of our guys, whether it was Wesley or Vasher or whoever. And I kind of worry a little bit about that for Kansas this weekend. But the thing that's allowed this defense to be so good, they've been so opportunistic. And like I said, it's been a pick party of ball hawking defensive backs and linebackers where they've got 10 different guys with interceptions this year. And just added an 11th the other day from the linebacking core and spreading it around. I've never seen it like that. And the opportunistic fumble recovery that they had late in the game in the final 75 seconds to ice it versus TCU, right place, right time. They come up with the big play. I mean, they've been averaging just under 3 takeaways per game, and they're not giving it away on offense. So that'll keep you in contests when you're trying to close the gap talent-wise. It's not like they're a just completely dominant defense that's not allowing a ton of first downs. They're just able to make big plays to end drives with the takeaways when you really need it. And then it seems like when you've got the veteran defensive talent like Daniel Wise and Joe Dineen that are 23-year-old, fifth-year senior type guys, you know, they've got guys coaching up the youngsters to where they're usually in the right place at the right time, and they play pretty assignment sound. So I think you'll be impressed. At the same time, you know, we fully expect Iowa State to come in here with a full head of steam and great confidence the way you guys played in October. And it's going to be a good fight. I really feel it will be, and certainly look forward to another great Big 12 North matchup. I know we don't have the divisions anymore, but you know, this is one that goes back a ways, and we always love seeing you guys because there's a lot of great respect between these two programs and fan bases.
Absolutely. Hey, before we let you go, Brian, Kansas basketball about ready to embark on Big 12 conference title number 312 or whatever it is. But how's everything in Lawrence around Bill Self with everything that's going on? The talent is there, no doubt. Everyone's got Kansas number one going into the season. But what is the temperature around Kansas basketball right now?
Are you alluding to the college hoops trial?
Yes,
when
yes.
You said everything that's going on? Yeah, yeah. I figured you were trying to be kind and not, you know, directly ask about it. But, yeah, you know, it's been an interesting few weeks and couple of months here. But I really feel like after the verdict about this time a week ago, it was Wednesday of last week when, you know, they found those three former Adidas employees guilty and made the schools out to be victims in all of this. Hopefully things will start to go away a little bit. But there's still an individual eligibility review going on with one of our current student-athletes, Silvio De Sousa. They're real hopeful to get him cleared. But with or without him, they still have the deepest front court in America. They've got a first-team All-American in Dedrick Lawson that transferred in from Memphis. They've got terrific McDonald's All-American freshman talent coming in three times over, Quentin Grimes, Devon Dotson, and then a young man by the name of David McCormick, who's also a Mickey D's guy. And so they've reloaded pretty well. The one thing they don't have that could be an Achilles heel that scares me, as you talk about preseason number one in both polls, what has Kansas had better than anybody else each of the last two seasons? That senior All-American point guard, 23 years old, you know, redshirt senior type guy, and with no Frank Mason, no Devontae Graham running the show, they've passed the keys of the kingdom to an 18-year-old McDonald's All-American point guard. And Devon Dotson's good. But as he goes up against the Wigginsons and some of the other guys in this league, he's going to find out real fast, you know, just how tough it is playing in this Big 12 conference. And I think there's going to be some growing pains. But make no mistake, from a big man's perspective, you won't find a better group in America. And Kansas feels like they got a great shot to be in Minneapolis in the Final Four when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Hoops around the corner, but football on the way this Saturday. Brian, appreciate it. Thanks for the insight, and have fun calling the game.
Hey, thanks so much, fellas. Appreciate you having me on.
Brian Haney, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, kind enough to join us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class KGYM. We'll take a break, come back. Cal Elder to join us. We'll talk some baseball, wrap her up after the Red Sox wrapped up the Los Angeles Dodgers in five. We'll talk to Cal after this.
Hey, Dave, what's with the dry erase board?
We've got so much to do before we open for the day, so I'm diagramming our game plan.
You just wrote help me and X's and arrows.
I know. We need help.
Here's a plan. Call Cintas. They'll check our fire extinguishers, stock our first aid cabinets. They'll take care of our floor mats and restroom supplies. And, of course, deliver great-looking uniforms.
Call Cintas. Great plan.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because at Lowe's, pros save big on the supplies they use most. Right now, save even more on select concrete mix, now 30% off when you buy in bulk. Plus, save 5% on eligible purchases every day when you use your Lowe's business credit account. Stop by or visit lowesforpros.com for details. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Minimum purchase required. Selection varies by location. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. U.S. only.
Getting knocked down on the football field makes you tough. But getting back up makes you tougher. At Goodyear, we call that determination. A willingness to put in more hours, more reps, and more heart to reach a bar that's sky high. Because the Goodyear blimp doesn't show up for just anybody. So don't be just anybody. Be blimp worthy. Goodyear, more driven.
Your car's in pretty good shape. It's only 6 or 7 years old. You just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. And sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage. Because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Pennzoil Synthetics. Make the switch at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back in the Gym Class KGYM, our thanks to Brian Haney for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will be on the program. Looking forward to that. And I believe our friend Tom Kickert from Hawkeye Report will be with us as well. Cal Eldred set to join us right now. Talk a little bit of baseball, probably for the final time this year. Cal, of course, the pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals and the popcorn industry taking a hit as we speak because the playoffs are and the World Series have been completed, Cal.
Yeah, maybe. I tried to keep the oil light, but my cholesterol level could probably take the break.
I need a break.
Hey, Cal, a lot of folks have short memories, but some people want to put this Boston Red Sox team in the category of perhaps among the greatest of all time. What say you?
Ooh, if they win three more in the next 4 years, I'd say, yeah, go ahead and put them right there.
119 wins, though.
Yeah, I get that. I think about the team that Seattle had when they won, I think it was 116 in a season.
Mm.
And, you know, I think about the players that was on that team, and Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, so is that who Boston is? And I think the thing about Boston right now, and I was talking to a friend of mine going kind of through their roster a little bit, they've got some players that came through their organization. They've got enough time now and experience in the big leagues that they're really starting to put it together. They understand how to hit. They understand the importance of defense. They've done it together. And whether you're talking Devers, Bogarts, Betts, they've been around each other enough, and they've had a leader like Pedroia who didn't play one inning of the playoffs that
even having him around really is really important. So I look at this team and I think they have the potential to be like that. But I think that it's a team also that, believe it or not, fellas, I think they can be better. Wow. That's why I'm probably taking the stance I'm taking.
Well, heck of a team, but hard to beat the Big Red Machine.
Yeah. No, I could name every one of those players.
I can't.
So can I.
That was my favorite team, fellas. I grew up a Cincinnati Reds fan. I wanted to be Johnny Bench worse than I wanted to be Tom Seaver. So that was.
That's breaking news.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I don't have an autographed baseball from Tom Seaver, but I've got one from Johnny Bench. So and that's what happens when you're one of the younger brothers. And your older brother's a pitcher, so that was the only way I got to play because he was going to pitch and I was going to catch. So, but I'm just saying, there's no question that team in Cincinnati was exceptional. And you're talking about guys who were already a little longer in the tooth in their careers than a lot of these guys in Boston. But it still takes great pitching, and Boston had it, and it's a testament to. The consistency, because winning that many games during a regular season is harder to do than it is to get into the playoffs and win the World Series.
Well, you had told us that the Boston Red Sox were the best hitting team that you had seen throughout the year. And then you put that together with the way David Price came through, just the way the entire pitching staff, Joe Kelly was tremendous. Kimbrel found his footing. As far as the back half of the postseason is concerned, but especially David Price. But it was just the Dodgers really, the way the Red Sox were playing, they had very little chance.
And you know, Scott, you're exactly right. And the other thing is that the Dodgers did take away some of their weapons offensively. When Mookie Betts, basically the home run he hit in Game 5 was his contribution. And other than that, he's in the lineup. And J.D. Martinez, too, got, you know, there wasn't they didn't produce the top four guys in that lineup didn't produce during the World Series like they produced during the regular season on a consistent basis. So it's but the bottom of the order did. And that was what I thought was so tough about Boston, was that there's no break. There's no break. There's no pitcher to hit. And it was. Because of what they're kind of anti what our offense is being taught today. Yes, there's some launch angle. They hit some home runs, but man, they don't strike out. They don't strike out much, and they lock it down with two strikes. They put a heck of an at bat on you, and it costs your pitchers a lot of work and a lot of pitches. And that's, to me, that's why their offense was so good.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't so much Betts and Martinez and Bogarts, but guys like Pierce and Holt and Nunez. When you get production out of those guys, that's big.
No question. Mark, you look, I remember when Boston got Pierce, I was kind of like, why would Toronto, and I kind of looked at it this way, why would Toronto give them Pierce? And I just thought that was – and because we had already faced Toronto with Pierce in the lineup. And I thought, man, he's one of the toughest outs. Now he's with Boston. And then when we faced him when he was in that lineup, I'm like, man, now you got another guy who's old enough to know himself, to look at the club that's around him, know he's not going to probably play every day, but wants to win. He wants to win. And that, it's not that other guys don't, but – He's played for every team in the American League East. He understands that division. It was a great move, whoever was responsible for that in Boston. But you're right, Mark, when you get production from those other guys, you call them second-tier guys, but on a lot of clubs, they're the guys that are hitting in the 3, 4, and 5 hole.
How are the Dodgers going to be, I don't want to say remembered so much, I hope I had a better word than that, but two straight World Series appearances came up short in both of them. They got Manny Machado, obviously, but they didn't have Seager for basically the entire year. Who knows about the effectiveness, I guess, still of Clayton Kershaw. Sounds like he's going to be back. But, the Dodgers ran into two pretty good American League baseball teams.
there's no question. I think also, you guys think about it. There's a question I pose. Would the Dodgers have beat Houston? Would the Dodgers have beat the Yankees? Would the Dodgers have beaten Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure that they beat any of those teams. I think Cleveland, with their bullpen struggles, maybe the Dodgers clip them. But these other two teams that we're talking about in Houston and the Yankees, man, I'm not so sure, because seeing their lineups, seeing the pitching that they have, that's awful, awful tough. But I don't think the Dodgers necessarily going to go anywhere when they've added Walker Buehler. Ryu, Maeda, they're still there. Kenley Jansen's probably going to, hopefully will get a lot of his health issues, his health issue with his heart taken care of this offseason, and he can bounce back. And they've got some young players getting Seager back. I think they can get better, and they can add stuff to their team and their club. So the hardest thing for a team like the Dodgers is the fact that these long seasons, my wife and I know Turner Ward, their hitting coach, really well, and his wife Donna, and it's really long. And it sounds, people are like, oh, too bad for them, they're in the World Series. But it is long, not just for the coaching staff, but especially for those players and those pitchers going the extra mile. It's tough to keep going back and over again this deep. But I think they can get better.
Take the two World Series managers out of the mix, Cal. What are the managers in both? What other managers of both leagues deserve Manager of the Year consideration? Melvin,
I think Craig Counsell does.
Yeah,
in Milwaukee. Sorry,
Melvin.
Melvin does. Yep, no question. Bob's done he's done a great job, and those guys, they're good players. That's bottom line. But really, he moves them around because they are. He did a nice job with that club because he helped his players put them in positions where they could be successful and gain that confidence. So I like Counsell and Bob Melvin. Those are two that come to mind right away.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at some of the awards, you got to think Mookie Betts is pretty much a lock for AL MVP. DeGrom, probably a lock for National League Cy Young. Is Yelich going to win the National League MVP, you think?
I think he should. I think, and you know what? That guy's not going anywhere. And especially you take him out of the ballpark down there in Miami and put him up there in Milwaukee. Very hitter-friendly, but he does exactly what we were explaining about the Boston hitters, and that's why he's so good. Yes, he's going to take his chances. He's going to try to drive the baseball out of the ballpark, but he'll take what you give him, especially once he gets behind in the count.
What do you think of some of the managerial moves? My Twins get rid of Paul Molitor and bring in Rocco Baldelli, and just some of the other movements around the league.
Well, that to me is an interesting one, because both Rocco Baldelli and Charlie Montoyo were coaches down in Tampa. And I've known Charlie. Charlie and I played in the minor leagues together. We came up together with Milwaukee. And then you take Brad Ausmus, stick him out in California with the Angels, Anaheim. Let me just make sure don't date myself too much. But it's interesting, because what you hear in the media is this is about analytics. It's about knowing the probability of every situation that can happen in the game of baseball. And, do they have experience? And I still think that when it comes to managing, it's not always about the analytics. You are what the name is. You're a manager. You have to manage people and let them do their jobs and encourage them. So it's an interesting scenario, because, Baldelli's 37 years old. I'm not saying that he can't be a good manager. Gabe Kapler was another guy but he had experience in player development. So a lot of these guys, Charlie Montoyo, longtime manager in the minor leagues, Ausmus, this is his second time around. So to me, Mark, I don't know what your thought is as far as your idea about Baldelli being up in Minnesota, but these are interesting hires, and it'll be interesting to see how this each one of these situations pan out over the next 3 or 4 years.
I'll wait and see on Baldelli. It was just clear that the Minnesota front office, Paul wasn't their kind of guy.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's there's still a it's if it's not in the media, in, you know, in the backdrop, in front office, in organizational meetings, there's still a real trying to come together between what people want to brand the old school way and the new so-called analytic way of looking at the game. And we see it with shifts. You know, I have more and more people come up to me scratching their head saying, I can't understand, Cal, why can't major leaguers just slap the ball the other way when they're in a shift? Why can't they bunt? You know, all those things are good questions. Because if you're going to be a major leaguer, you should be able to hit the ball the other way. And you know what? The guys that are doing it, they take advantage of it. They hit it the other way, and we have to move the fielders back. And now it helps them become the complete hitter. So there's a lot about this game of baseball that people want to change, but a lot of it stays the same if you have players that are willing to do that.
I guess a housekeeping matter, Cal. You are going to return to Kansas City as a pitching coach, right?
Yes. I know. I don't know whether it's necessarily been announced or not, but it's usually not that big a deal when I do something, so I don't. But
it is to us.
Yeah. I'm gonna sign a 2-year contract to stay with the Kansas City Royals. So
excellent.
I'm sorry.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's. Look, I love being a pitching coach. I love doing the job that I did before with the Royals, seeing kids from the major leagues all the way down to kids that were just drafted. I just like to see and enjoy watching players get better, coaches get better, and being a part of it. And that's something I enjoy. And the Royals are giving me an opportunity to stick around to help pitchers for a couple more years, and I couldn't be any happier.
Well, just make sure the major league coaches and all teach those youngsters to, you know, hit behind runners and things like that. That was the most frustrating thing of the postseason that I watched, especially in some of these long extra inning games where they could have been wrapped up a lot earlier.
the 18 inning game, fellas, I'd planned a nice duck hunt with DJ and a couple of his buddies. And next thing I know, I look up and they show the clock is midnight in L.A. And I go, wait a minute, it's 2:00 in the morning here. And so I got a 55-minute nap and went out and duck hunted. I wasn't going to let that stop me. But I'm telling you, it's frustrating because I don't think Joe Buck could have been any clearer, or John Smoltz any clearer about, fellas, cut your swings down.
Yes.
And that's actually exactly why the Dodgers got beat. And I know Turner's telling them. I know Turner Ward's telling them, fellas, quit swinging at the pitch that's out of the zone and up above. But it looks so good. You know, you guys, we've all done it, whether it's slow pitch softball or professional baseball. We swing at that pitch. But you're a major leaguer, and you need to be disciplined and play a little small ball and get that game over in 12.
There you go. Hey, Cal, enjoy the hunting, and we will, I'm sure, catch up over the wintertime as we get closer and closer to spring training. But thanks, and we look forward to 2019.
You bet. It's right around the corner, and obviously we're getting ready for it. But thanks, guys, for having me around talking some baseball.
Thanks, Cal.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
Cal Eldred joins us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. I'm going to take a break. As we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up Dr. Pepper prize pack. And that is going to caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600, caller 6. You will pick that up, a 24-pack of regular diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, and a KGYM pint glass going out to caller number 6. Back to wrap her up after this.
Increase the value of your home during Menards Home Improvement Sale. Dakota Prefinished Storage Solutions make it easy to create your own custom storage space. From modular systems to prefinished shelving and even closet kits, there's a Dakota product for every room of your home. 7 3/4 inch deep by 3 foot long pre-finished shelves and 5 finishes are just 99 cents each after rebate. Sale prices are good through November 10th. Now during Menards Home Improvement Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me, it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect fall combination for football. All the info you need to get ready for the big game and all the smart rock you need to get ready for your pregame festivities. Tailgates go better with Smart Rock from Smart FM. If you're heading to the Hawkeye game or getting together with your buddies before kickoff, Smart Rock or kickoff, Smart Rock.